This is Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and we will take the thank you very much. I was just about to ask for that, Brenda. Well done. The meeting is now being recorded, and we will take the attendees list from the Adobe Connect room as our roll call for today. Just asking, is there anyone who's on the audio and not in the Adobe room? Make yourselves known. Not hearing anyone. A quick review of the agenda. We'll be starting off with the thrill-packed and exciting exercise of Stress Test 18. Then we're going to be looking at the divergence response on Stress Test 29, 30, 21 and 34, the proposal of a new stress test or two, and the concept that was brought up in today's, or for me it was today, earlier today, the most recent CCWG call where Annie suggested that we should be rerunning stress tests on new models. So we'll take that as a piece of additional any other business. But it's certainly something which I said on the call would be highly unlikely, insert the word impossible, before we got to Dublin, that's for sure. So having filibustered for another 45 seconds or so and not seeing anyone else having joined us, I'd like to note that even though we have a relatively small lineup today, many people are probably committed to either preparing for their travel and trying to get their real lives and workplaces in order before they get to Dublin, or this particular time of day is unsuitable for many. Beautifully suitable for me, however. So, Steve, I'm going to toss this straight to you to launch us into the document that we have up on screen at the moment. Steve, over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Steve Del Bianco, and let the record show that the attendance may be light, but we have the brightest lights of the stress test team on the line. Thanks for joining. We're starting off with Stress Test 18 today instead of ending with it, so I thought that would be more convenient for the GAC members. We did it at the end of the call last time. So on page 5 of the document that we circulated last night, I've highlighted in yellow and italic what I'm proposing as the stress test team's recommendation for full consideration by the entire CCWG. So this one seems like it's a big enough issue. We don't want to just confine it to us. We put it to the full WP1 and the full CCWG when we gather in Dublin. So there are two recommendations there. The first is that we would, pursuant to the apology that I issued in Los Angeles, that we would remove the example from Stress Test 18 in both places that it appears, because a lot of you know that it appears on page 85 and on page 103, but we'll take it out in both places, and that is to remove the text used to describe the stress test. And that text was, quote, "A majority of governments could thereby approve GAC advice that restricted free online expression, for example." And again, it was only intended as an example, and since it gave offense to some governments, we're going to take it out. Are there any objections? Fantastic. The rest was the next one item is to, I drafted, as I promised after our last call, I heard a lot of requests for a tighter, concise rationale for two things, a rationale for why did we do this stress test, number one. Number two, why did we recommend the bylaws change as a result of doing the stress test? And so what we endeavored to do, and I worked a little with Cheryl and with Jonathan Zook over the weekend to come up with text that we think addresses the rationale. I sent it around a couple of days ago in the hopes that some GAC members could give us some reaction. You have it in front of you on the screen. And, Brenda, let me ask you, does everyone have scroll or is it just me? All right, so I'll scroll it so that you can see more of the new text. So this is the new rationale. And you notice that I give two reasons for why Stress Test 18 was among those that were selected. And I won't bore you all with reading it. It's been circulated for a few days, and I know all of you have the Adobe in front of you. And why don't we take a moment to scan the first part of it about why Stress Test 18 was even selected, and I'll take a cue if anyone wants to give some reaction to this. All right, then let's move on to the second half, which is, I'll scroll up to it, which is to say that why would we then address stress test 18 with a proposed amendment to ICANN bylaws? And you all know the amendment that we're speaking of. It has to do with the board's obligation with respect to GAC advice. It has nothing to do with how the GAC comes to its decisions, but rather how ICANN must react when it comes over. There are, again, two reasons here, and perhaps the one piece of rationale that is most interesting is this idea that if the GAC moved to something less than consensus, to simple majority voting, something other than its current model, then GAC advice could come over to ICANN where there was a split or a significant minority of the GAC who didn't favor it. If that advice showed up at ICANN, we would want ICANN to know that. And one of the best reasons to adopt our proposed bylaws change is to avoid having ICANN's board trying to come up with a mutually acceptable solution when, in fact, a significant number of governments didn't support the GAC advice to begin with. The notion of mutually acceptable solution is that the board is negotiating between it and the GAC on the assumption that the GAC has consensus or solidarity behind its advice. It's not going to work to have ICANN's board trying to negotiate when governments themselves have failed to agree. And that was sort of a eureka moment when I sort of put into words what I'd been feeling for so long as what I think is the best rationale for why we don't want to obligate the board to work out this notion of a mutually acceptable solution when the GAC advice itself is in dispute. So I'll stop there. Thomas, I see you're in the chat. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Steve. I can't speak for the GAC, of course, and I'm also not speaking for my government. I just wanted to, with regard to the first paragraph that is supposed to explain the rationale, I'm not sure whether this helps those governments, and there are quite many, actually, who fail to see a rationale behind these stresses. And I can just, to show you what I mean, I can quote you the Norwegian contribution in the public comment, what they, for instance, what the Norwegian government says, which is the following. With regard to the reasoning behind the introduction of stress test 18 in the draft proposal, it is our understanding that stress test 18 is introduced to avoid significant expansion of the role of government in ICANN decision-making and to prevent ICANN from governmental capture. The Norwegian Communications Authority would like to underline that we think it's fundamentally important to avoid that ICANN is captured by any group of stakeholders, but we fail to see how governmental advisory committee in its role as advisor to the ICANN board can capture ICANN decision-making by its advice, regardless of how this advice is categorized or expressed in the future. This is one of several who don't understand the logic behind this. And this is what I wrote to you, Steve, in the mail a few days ago, that if the motivation is avoid governmental capture, many governments fail to see any risk of capture if they are in an advisory role. And independent of how GAC advice is drafted and so on and so forth, they fail to see a stringent reason why this stress test is useful and necessary at all. The Norwegians, it's just one example. There are many more. And it would be good because if many governments don't understand what the reason, what the aim of this is, or they the presented aim is not understandable to them, or they don't agree with the aim because they don't think it's the case, then it's difficult to work on an agreed language for the stress test. So this is why I told you it would be helpful to come up with a rationale where governments may understand that this is really necessary and makes sense, and there is a need to change the bylaws from what we have so far.
Hey, thank you, Thomas. Appreciate that. And, Thomas, on the last call, I remember noting that nothing in our CCWG proposal ever talked about capture, with respect to stress test 18. It wasn't part of the rationale, and it wasn't part of the rhetoric, so that if, in fact, some governments have objected to tying stress test 18 to capture, I'm sorry that they made that connection, and to avoid any mistake, we avoided saying that capture was the justification. And in fact, I tried to bring that home with the rationale for why we created the stress test and why we need the bylaws change. The text that you have in front of you says nothing about capture. Now, I'll note that NTIA gave specific requirements for the transition, including advice that stress test 18 was a direct test of the requirement to avoid what they called significant expansion of the role of governments in ICANN decision making. And that's NTIA's view. And we note that the proposed bylaws change is therefore an important part of the community's proposal on the assumption that NTIA deems it necessary. But even NTIA never said it was about capture, rather about significant expansion of the role. So, Thomas, with all due respect, the four reasons of rationale that I've circulated are our attempts, our direct attempt to directly answer the question that you, Norway, and many of your colleagues have posed, where they don't quite understand a justification of capture. And we heard you loud and clear. So this rationale tries once again to explain the reasons behind the stress test, and they don't involve some elevated fear of capture. If the answer is still not good enough, well, then I'm sorry we didn't quite reach it, but you have to acknowledge we have tried to explain without resorting to some vague rhetoric of capture. We've tried to explain exactly why stress test 18 is a consensus, well, I should say a significant majority of the CCWG favorite. Thomas, the floor is yours if you want to come back on that.
Yes. Well, whether you call it capture or you call it enhancing the influence of governments, many governments do see neither of it, because an advice is an advice. No matter how the advice is drafted or not, they fail to see an enhancement of government influence as well, if I get these right. So I'm not sure whether that would make a difference for those who have a problem. but maybe... yeah, it would be good to talk to those who expressed publicly that they failed to see the rationale, a reasonable, meaningful rationale for stress test 18 and for the bylaw change, because I can't really give you an answer, as I said, because I can't speak for those who ask for deletion of this bylaw change and the whole stress test.
I understood, Thomas, but even if the words significant expansion, I didn't cite it as the CCWG's rationale. I cited it as something that NTIA had suggested in a separate communication where they indicated that stress test 18 was a direct test of their requirements. So that is not part of the rationale. None of the rationale you have in front of you speaks to significant expansion of the role of government. It's really about why we are going to try to reflect in the bylaws the current practice of the GAC, which is consensus, leaving flexibility for how the GAC defines consensus, but ensuring that non-consensus advice doesn't carry ICANN's board into an obliged session of trying to find a mutually acceptable solution. And again, I think the strongest piece of that rationale, Thomas and others, is this notion that when a significant number of governments don't agree, then we should not put ICANN's board in the position of trying to negotiate when the governments themselves are not in agreement and don't have a consensus. Any other, Thomas, back to you, or anyone else, raise your hand if you'd like to get in the queue. We'll give this as much time as it needs. But it would be helpful if I had some reaction from those of you that are very concerned about this, at least have some reaction that you've read the new rationale and try to understand, for instance, whether it answers the request you made for a better rationale. And Jorge, I recall in Los Angeles, you in particular suggesting that when you reread the CCWG's second draft, you felt the logic was pretty messy. And as an engineer, I don't want to have messy logic. So this is our attempt to give you clean rationale and logic. Did we meet the mark? Jorge, you're on a different path as to whether the public comments reflected what they did. I reported that 16 of 20 public comments favored stress test 18, and our job here is to assess public comments, but I want GAC input if in fact the public comments understate the concern in the GAC. We are very interested in finding a way to respond to the GAC's concerns in such a way that, as a chartering organization, the GAC can feel more comfortable with the CCWG's proposal, or at least this aspect of it. There may be other aspects the GAC is troubled with. But I am bending over backwards here to be accommodating of your requests, both in terms of rationale and answers and edits, of stripping out the example that gave some offense. Again, apologies for that. What else can we do? Cheryl, I'm not seeing any other hands right now, so I guess we can come back to it at some point. And I realize,
thanks for that, because I was just about to put my hand up and say, I'm not seeing a lot of forward progress here on this particular modality of communication on stress test 18. And yet I'm relatively confident that when we have more GAC people engaged with us, hopefully not only on Friday but throughout the other meetings that are now being held in Dublin, that they will be as keen as we are to see if we can further towards a mutually acceptable resolution, shall I use those terms, to the language used in Stress Test 18. Because right now the CCWG Stress Test Working Party is somewhat between a rock and a hard place, where we have been told categorically by NTIA that we have to have a Stress Test 18 in the mix. And we certainly don't want to do that at the cost of a wholesale offence of a large number of the Government Advisory Committee member countries. So we want to work with them to find the best way forward, or a mutually unpalatable agreement, or mutually palatable one. To that end, I'm wondering, Steve, whether it might be wise to work with Tom Dale and Thomas to see whether we can carve out a particular amount of time during one or other of the agendaed pieces for our work, where any representatives of the countries that are particularly concerned, who are available, and we do recognise that it's a busy time at ICANN meetings and not everyone will be, as well as perhaps one or two of those GAC reps who in fact gave quite significant support to Stress Test 18 as she was RIC, let alone in the new modification that you've made recently, to see whether we can, you know, bludgeon out some language that will be satisfactory. It would be simple, I guess, for us to say, okay, GAC, now it's over to you, and I think we'd end up playing ping pong with it if we can put a few of us in a room or a corner of a room will do, and see if we can come up with some text to then bring back to the committee of the whole. That may work. However, I am well aware that all we can do is make that as a suggestion or a proposal to go back to the GAC via the Secretariat and the Chair. So how do you feel about that, Sue? That's the best way I can see us progressing this.
No, I agree, Cheryl. And it may be that the new rationale answers Norway's concerned, and perhaps some others, but that might not change the fact that those governments say, okay, I get the new rationale, and I appreciate that it's not captured, but I still don't like it. We still object, and I realize that's possible, that could happen. So I will return to my original proposal, is that the new text, we'll put it into the reading package that's going to go circulating to the entire CCWG so people can read it on the way to Dublin, because it's only been shown within the WP's the stress test work party so far. And this is listed as something we want the full CCWG to consider. And that means that many more members of the GAC and members of the community who are not on the stress test work party will have an opportunity to weigh in when we discuss it in Dublin.
Okay. Can we make sure it's clearly laid out as a draft for discussion? That may help a little.
And it will. Okay.
Thank you.
This is Avery just letting you know that I'm on the phone listening, but I'm in a bank trying to get something notarized. But I'm here.
Okay. Thanks, Avery, and we'll add you to the attendees as well. And please just jump in if you want to make a comment at any stage. Jorge, I noticed your comment in chat about the lack of logical point of connection, that there still seems, in your opinion, to be a gap in the reasoning in the rationale, because there's no link to a risk which has to be remediated. To my meager mind, the risk excuse me, is one of failing one of the four or five tests that NTIA put forward as a requirement for transition, and that was with no increased power to any of the ACs and SOs with whatever model we come up with. And I think that's the thing that needs to be tested and shown that it is not the case that that would happen. I don't see that there is a risk of increased power. I don't see that there is a risk that any form of unreasonable influence would be likely to happen. But the stress tests, in fact, test highly unlikely and hopefully extraordinarily rare, if ever to have occurred, scenarios. And so it would be in that bucket that I would be putting it. But Steve, do you have any further points on that to respond to Jorge?
I would. Jorge, the logic is right there on the page in front of you. The first and second points were me, an engineer, attempting to link together what stress test 18 revealed and the bylaws change that was required. And the two rationale I cited have nothing to do with government capture. They don't even have to do with Cheryl's true statement that NTIA has suggested this is necessary. If it's inadequate, then judge it as such. But it's a direct attempt to answer the logical sequence about why we need it. And then with respect to the GNSO advice being binding on the board unless the board overrides, I guess you're helping me to make my point. Because GNSO advice that carries that level of force with the board is only GNSO consensus advice. And that's defined in the ICANN bylaws. Right down to the fact of what percentage of each house in the GNSO and the total supermajority. So what I guess, and Jorge, you're typing in the chat, but would it be better to go ahead and take the mic so we can have a dialogue? Go ahead, Jorge.
Hi, did you hear me?
Now we do, finally, yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay, I was just looking at the rationale. Which I suppose is this twofold rationale, and I still have difficulty to see why we are proposing in this context such a bylaws change. So there is a possibility referred to of some GAC members wanting to switch to majority voting, which is no current proposal anymore, and then we jump on the ICANN board obligation to follow only advice of the GAC, which is supported by consensus, and suddenly we the rationale goes further and to propose or to suggest that it is needed to set this in stone into the Icon bylaw. So I don't really get it. What is the reason why in this exercise of the CCWG there is a need to establish this at the level of the bylaws when we have a current practice in the GAC and there is no risk of expansion of the government role. There would be only a risk that there is if you want to call it that, in the future there is a possibility of some GAC members wanting to switch to majority voting, but it's only a hypothesis. There is no real stress, no real risk we have to test, and there is no clear rationale why we are doing this. So I'm still a bit confused why this is so important, why we need to put this into the bylaws, and why we are to a certain extent tweaking and twisting in order to reach a conclusion which seems to be a given. And I would like to have a more open and frank discussion on this. Thank you.
In the interest of open and frank discussion, if you're prepared to continue that now, please frankly say what it is you're thinking. If you prefer to do it through emails or in Dublin, that's fine as well. I do hope there was no attempt to suppress frank and open discussion on this, however.
No, I mean an open and frank discussion is a discussion where the conclusion is not a given. And I have some sort of impression that there is a given, which is the bylaws change, and we can end up with different rationales, but the conclusion will always be the same, and that's not very fruitful, I think.
Thank you, Jorge. One of the challenges we have is that we were analyzing public comments. And we don't just do a numerical count. I gave you a numerical count of 16 of 20, and I realized Thomas noted in the chat that there may have been other governments who felt the same but didn't submit comments. But keep in mind that the rest of the public comments that came in were from themselves organizations, like the Intellectual Property Constituency or the BC. And those organizations include dozens of different companies and entities that are within them, and we just simply count them as one. But at this point, the only objection had been from GAC reps from a handful of countries, and perhaps that handful grows to be somewhat more, but it would remain that objection comes only from the government corner. And CCWG, we need to work that through to suggest whether we have consensus support for stress test 18 or not, both given our rationale as well as the NTIA condition, because it matters what NTIA is saying, but it isn't something that we ask them to say, and I can't speak for their rationale and the choice of words that they used, which is what Thomas has entered into the chat. We're trying to rest on the rationale that we first had, because we proposed stress test 18 and the bylaws change long before NTIA weighed in with an email in March of this year.
If I may, take this just as a suggestion. I have the feeling, it's understandable. It's different parts of the community with different interests, And I got the feeling that the GNSO, for or parts of the GNSO, for whatever reason, want to have this more clearly stated into the bylaws. And there is where the support comes from in the genesis of this stress test and its conclusion, and also in the public comment period. If you look at the support comments, it's parts of the GNSO and individual companies from the same constituencies of the GNSO. There is concern by some governments, and there is also concern by CCTLE and probably also by an NGO. But many other constituencies are probably less aware of all this. For instance, the ASO or the CCNSO or the ALEC, they are widely silent. So it would be good to have the views from all the chartering organizations and see whether this is really a thing supported by everybody, or whether we are here in talking about what, in the end, is a question of balance between the GNSO and the GAC.
Okay, I think at that point, Cheryl, for the record, we probably are framing an excellent stepping-off point for our face-to-face discussion. Jorge, I can assure you, as one of the five members from the ALAC on the CCWG, that since before even the ICG was put together, the at-large community has met no less than 2 hours a week and up to 6 hours a week on all things transition and accountability, and that the ALAC has definitely discussed all of the stress tests, including stress test 18, I dare say ad nauseam. So if it did not specifically pick it out in part of its public comments as a support piece, I wouldn't take silence as a lack of information or intent. But let's make sure we sort this out, and we will get a statement as required from people like the chair of each of the, or chair or most senior person from each of the member groups. And that may give some comfort to whether or not there is the degree of consensus that we are seeing, at least from the public comments received, if that is reflected in the CCWG itself. Is that a appropriate way forward? Steve, I see your hand still up, as well as yours, Roy.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. I was digging into the first round of public comments because stress test 18 was on the books at our first May draft, and I'm trying to see whether ALAC was among the overwhelming quantity that supported stress test 18 there, but thank you for clearing that up. And Jorge, let me just suggest that the reason GNSO is so keen to address this issue is that it is the GNSO or the GTLD space that has most acutely been affected by some very influential GAC advice that has steered the new GTLD program for the last several years. So GAC advice has rarely impacted any other part of the ICANN community so much as ALAC, the user community, and the GNSO, where the GTLDs are handled. So the new GTLD expansion is an example. So we are all very familiar with the way GAC formulates and presents its advice, and are glad for that advice to have the highest deference available of any ACNSO, so long as the GAC produces that advice with consensus. And if the GAC decides to do less than consensus, the GNSO wants that to be known and wants that to relieve the board of the obligation to find a mutually acceptable solution. So I don't think – I realize governments are also affected, and you're definitely right. And yet the GNSO is acutely aware – of the power of GAC advice, and wants that power to to be accompanied by consensus the way it is today, as opposed to something that might happen in the future. Back to you, Cheryl.
Thanks, Steve. And I'm just thinking, well, you might draw a line under our first agenda item for today's meeting, recognizing it is only a 60-minute call, and we have about 20 minutes now left on that, and perhaps move now to the very important matter of dealing with the rest of the public comments. This will be a second, if not third, reading on some of these now, Steve. So if you'd like to take us through the divergence responses for those listed stress tests, which are 29, 30, 21 and 34, and then we may hopefully have a little bit of time to also look at the proposed new stress tests.
Thank you, Cheryl. Folks, if you look at the screen, what I've gone to do is page 3. On the first area of divergence slash concern, and it's stress test 29 and 30. You'll recall we've discussed these on our previous call, and I discussed this notion that the consequence proposed by the authors of stress test 29 and 30 should not have been taken on verbatim by the stress test team. That was one of the complaints from the intellectual property constituency, and it was elaborated on in Los Angeles. So what I've written here in yellow on the screen in front of you is a recommendation that the consequence stated there should be replaced with a consequence that the stress test team feels is more appropriate. And I've given you a draft. I said, quote, ICANN's enforcement of registry and registrar contract terms might be blocked by an IRP ruling citing amended mission and core values. Because that is the essence of the consequence of the stress test. It might be blocked. We can't predict what an IRP would say at all. And therefore, in the conclusions of stress tests 29 and 30, we had stated what the proposed measures would be more adequate than the existing measures, but instead I'm proposing this. Proposed measures would be adequate to challenge ICANN enforcement actions, but it is unlikely that IRP panels would block enforcement of voluntary contract terms and consensus policies. That particular phrase was derived because of listening in on so many of the Work Party 2 calls, as Becky Burr and Work Party 2 are trying to work through this contract enforcement aspect and whether ICANN's mission and core values assume that ICANN can enforce contracts as a means towards fulfilling its mission, even if contract terms were at times not the result of bottom-up policy. So why don't we take a cue on whether this is a way forward? And I'm particularly interested in Jonathan Zilk and any others on the call from the intellectual property constituency and other groups that have raised concerns about 29 and 30. We'll take a cue. It's Jorge, your hand is still up if you'd like to speak on this one. Jonathan Zook, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Can you hear me?
We do.
Okay, good. I'm reading through this, and it seems like it really addresses the questions that I hear discussed in the IPC. I'll take it back to them and try to get some consensus in the IPC that it covers it, but the uncertainty created in the previous language seems to be eliminated through this level of specificity. So I commend you on finding the middle ground here, and I'll take it back to the IPC to see if I can get some agreement on it.
Thanks, Jonathan. We certainly are being forced to sort of write something here to address a public comment, but we don't yet know for sure what Work Party 2 is going to put into the mix. That will come down in the next 24 hours. And if, in fact, their language gives us a more straightforward way to solve this, then we'll update this before we put it in front of our colleagues in Dublin. Would that be all right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, seeing no further comments on this one, I think we can say that we've covered this on our second read. And then, Cheryl, why don't we go to the next one? It's stress test 21, which was the revocation and reassignment of CCTLDs. We've already discussed this. I just put it in yellow text so that all of you could read it on a second read. It's right on the bottom of page 3. and the recommendation from the stress test team is that we retain our current stress test 21 analysis and not recommend other actions pending the policy development by the CCNSO. In other words, we take no action. We're explaining why. Any comments on that? All right, great. Thank you. And let's go to item three. This will be done very shortly, Cheryl. No worries. The next one is stress test 33, which was the NTIA's second requested stress test. It shows up on page 116 of our second draft report, and I reproduced it right here at the top of page 4. This talks about participants within an ACNSO potentially over-representing themselves in a working group, in the election of officers, or voting, and thereby having what we know as internal capture, which we call into question. We cited, in the stress test team, we cited three reasons. They're on the right, paragraphs 984, 85, and 86. We cited three reasons, and it turns out that the IPC, and I think one or two others, challenged our analysis, suggesting that we were placing too much faith in the process of internal review, and more importantly, placing too much faith in the notion that an IRP panel would look at the bottom-up requirement in the bylaws and use that to overturn advisory committee advice or SO policy if they have evidence that that policy or advice was not the result of bottom-up. And I think it's a fair criticism. That would, in fact, be a breakthrough for an IRP to consider evidence about whether a policy was properly done from the bottom up. And I think it's a fair criticism from the IPC. And so I propose a new way to phrase our conclusion. Instead of simply concluding that proposed accountability measures are more likely to be adequate, I'm suggesting we say that proposed accountability measures would be adequate provided that the bylaws requirement for a bottom-up, consensus-based multi-stakeholder process is interpreted by the board and IRP panelists to include an assessment of how decisions were reached within an AC or SO. And that assumption is a strong assumption. It qualifies our stress test and I think alerts the rest of our community to the notion that we have not solved internal capture problems. And the IRP is possibly a good tool for internal capture, but it requires a high level of assessment by the IRP panel or board because they have to look into how the decision was derived. Presumably, that would be presented by the parties of that AC or SO, for instance, in the GNSO. Let's suggest that a policy got pushed through the GNSO and the GNSO wants to claim that it's been captured by contract parties. And it can show evidence that contract parties infiltrated all of the different components of the GNSO and thereby drove the voting. You know, if there were evidence to that effect, I have to believe that would be persuasive and it would be evaluated against the new bylaws requirement for a bottom-up consensus-based process. Jorge, you're noting that would stronger diversity and openness rules. Jorge, I believe they would, but those rules are not part of work stream one, but I noted in paragraphs 84 and 85 on the screen above is that any of the periodic reviews that are done on each AC and SO could, in fact, request stronger diversity and openness and transparency. As well, any AC or SO that feels as if it's susceptible to capture can try to amend its rules. Now, the IPC noted that if the GNSO tried to amend its rules, the parties that have captured the GNSO probably won't accept the rules amendment, which is an awfully good point. And Jorge, you're right. Maybe it is in Work Party 3, and I'm just a little overwhelmed right now, and I hadn't tried to connect those dots. But I will ask Leon whether we can connect the dots on what they're doing on transparency and openness, too. Yeah. When you said me, too, did you mean a little overwhelmed? Okay, I'm assuming that. All right, folks. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a cue. Any comments on this one? And Jonathan, this was something that the IPC brought up. I'd be interested to know what you think of it.
Again, I think it finds a good balance. I'm happy to advocate on its behalf inside the IPC and see if we can get the concerns resolved or get very specific feedback.
All right, that's fantastic. I appreciate that. Any other comments? Okay, I'm almost done, Cheryl. If you go to the very first page, everyone, we had one item for refinement. And it actually makes it all the way down to the bottom of page 2. This has to do with this question of whether advisory committees should have votes in a mechanism if, in fact, we end up with such a mechanism. I went back on the last call. I promised to go back to cyber invasion and ask for an expansion of their point that they were very concerned about giving the ACs operationalizing or giving the advisory committees of ICANN voting power. To his credit, James Gannon replied almost right away with an extensive analysis that covers most of page 1 and page 2 of this document. And I pasted James's reply in here. So I think that James is quite articulate and passionate about it. But my study of the public comments reveals this to be a small minority of commenters who were just opposed to giving ACs a voting role. There are many folks who question the weighting of the votes. I understand that, but I could not find others who were flat out opposed to giving ACs a voting role, a total of 4, which I've indicated in the comment at the bottom of page 2, total of 4. So I would suggest to you, my colleagues in the stress test team, that we note that a small minority of commenters were opposed to giving ACs any voting role. But we therefore recommend sticking with the CCWG's second draft proposal, which did give a voting role to the ACs. Any comments on that?
Jonathan, is
Jonathan,
that a fresh
hand? Jonathan, your hand
is still up.
Next. Sorry about that old hand.
All right, so I'll take that as a consensus with the group. And we had one request for a new stress test. None of you identified others, but they've asked us to do stress testing of a deadlock over changes to fundamental and regular bylaws. And I think we would attempt to do that before we publish our next draft. That doesn't have to be done for Dublin. And you're right, Jorge. But even as we move to consensus and near consensus, if near consensus, Jorge, was, let's say, use the Cavus model, which is two or more, or more than two ACs and SOs objecting. That still means you turn to the ACs and SOs and say to them, what say you, yes or no? Do you object? You know, it's voting by another name, but it's closer to trying to achieve whether we have consensus. The point is it all avoids anything like a majority or simple majority. Team, the last item we had on the agenda is something that came up on the big CCWG call today, and it was this idea that if we as the CCWG move off of membership model, then we will have moved away from enforceability, as well as our proposal that when the community backs an IRP, that ICANN pays for it. And those important elements are not present in the board's MEM proposal. And we've yet to flesh out whether they would be present in a designator model. So it's possible that the conclusions reached by so many of our stress tests, that is to say, the conclusions that the proposed measures of community mechanism as single member give the community the ability to challenge the board and hold it accountable. I have to wonder how many of those stress tests would still pass under a model that gave significantly less enforcement authority. So I brought that up on today's call to indicate that once we settle on our new model, we would have to rerun virtually all the stress tests. That's not a Herculean task, but it will take a few days. Someone on the call suggested we should do stress tests now on all three proposals, MEM, designator, and CMSM. And Cheryl and I both believe that that's an unreasonable burden to get done between now and Dublin.
Just a tad.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think there's any action item on that. I didn't have it in the document, but I put it on the agenda because it came up this morning.
Sheriff, for the record, I think we should also note that Anne, who was the one who was suggesting we run this cross all possible current models stress testing, did then say, well, how about our favourite three? And I would like the stress test working party to perhaps, in all their spare time, perhaps as they're travelling to Dublin, digesting even more hundreds of emails and reading documents, is there a couple of particular stress tests? I would suggest at least one out of each of the categories would need to be done. So it wouldn't be three, it would be five. That may, in fact, be of some use to run across all the models under consideration. But whilst I'm putting that on the table for your thoughts and contributions, probably when we get together in Dublin, I also would like to put on the record that it is my hope that as we come out of Dublin, we'll have far less to choose from amongst the models, and that we will have come to a much closer community-wide view on what we will be building, and therefore have not so much a three by however many, but a model A or a model B, or hopefully just a model to explore. But then again, I'm an eternal optimist, otherwise I wouldn't still be doing this. is there any other business? Not hearing anybody go, talk to me, no, I need to put my hand up, and not seeing anybody other than Jonathan giving a yay team, we can do it. That's the attitude, Jonathan. Let's see how we're doing with those yay teams by the end of Dublin. I'd like to thank you all most sincerely for the time and energy you're putting into our stress test working party. I know it's one of many, many pulls on you at the moment and your valuable time. We do remember that we are all volunteers, and I would like to think that we will be able to founding on today's call, further some of our work on Stress Test 18, if we can pull a few key people from the GAC as well as from the CCWG Working Party on Stress Tests together and see whether we can come to a more common understanding on things in the full frank and fearless manner that Jorge has suggested we need to do. So thank you all. Thank you, staff. As usual, the recordings will be very promptly put out for anyone to listen to. So if any of your GAC colleagues have been unable to make today's call and do want to bring themselves up to speed on what we've discussed here today so that they can prepare to dive in with us at Dublin, please recommend that it's only a short listening, about 20-25 minutes worth of the beginning of the call that they need to listen to. Thank you, one and all. Thank you, staff. And for those of us travelling to Dublin, safe travels and see many of you there.